Let's turn this morning in our Bibles to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 15. Job, chapter 15. I've heard a secret. I'm going to tell you about it this morning. And if you're normal, I think most of us are, in this regard, I bet you want to know what the secret is. If you see somebody over in a corner going, pss, 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 the first thing you want to know is, what are they talking about? Are they telling secrets? And I don't mean just gossipy things. Our first thought when we know somebody else knows a secret is, tell me. I know how to drive Rebecca Plum crazy. Just say, did you hear? Oh, no, you don't want to know. So it's like, tell me, tell me, tell me. Got to know that secret. And a secret, by definition, is something not commonly known by everyone. And the almost universal reaction to finding out there's a secret is to want to hear the secret. It doesn't matter whether it's good news or bad news. We want to hear the secret. And listen to this little thing. The more we think that the secret has to do with me, if you think the secret has to do with you, you really want to know that secret, don't you? You want to know which one of your secrets has come to light. Well, God, in His Word, has a question for each of us today. And it's the most important question anybody's ever asked us. You will never in your lifetime hear a question that's more important than the one I'm going to ask you straight out of God's Word. Look at Job 15, verse 8, what it says. It says, "Hast thou heard the secret of God?" It's a good question, isn't it? God's asking everybody in this room this morning, have you heard the secret of God? Now, this is a question we better consider. Each of us had better find the answer to this question, and it better be the honest answer. Because our eternal destiny, where we spend all eternity, depends on our answer to this question. Have you heard the secret of God? I want to answer that in four little brief words. The first word is, have you heard the secret of God? This is God's secret. Could anyone but a fool be surprised that God actually knows something that's not commonly known to everybody? Is that a surprise to anybody this morning that God might have a secret or so? God knows everything. I know we think we know a lot, don't we? That's the best thing about children. The older they get, the more they realize they don't know everything. They just think they do. Truth is, we know so little. We know just about nothing about anything. And if we have a wrong view of who God is, we'll never hear the secret of God. Let me show you that. Turn to Jeremiah 23. This world is now and always has been full of those who say they know the secret of God. They claim to know. And we would call them false preachers. The scriptures call them false prophets. Same thing. And they haven't heard the secret. And you know the funny thing about a secret? If you haven't heard it, you can't tell anybody, can you? But you know, do you remember junior high days? Some of you young people might be living through them right now, or high school, where one of your friends came up to you and said, did you hear about Jamie too? Now, you want to be on the in crowd. You want to be on the know, so you haven't heard anything about Jamie Sue. But rather than admit you don't know, you go, yeah, In hopes they're now going to tell you what the secret is. And then you'll know too, and you won't be embarrassed because you didn't know. You know that's what false preachers are doing in this day? They don't have a clue what the secret of God is, so they're just making something up, acting like they know. It's been that way from the fall of Adam. Look here in Jeremiah 23, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, these preachers, and yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they're preaching anyway. He says, but if they had stood in my counsel, if they'd heard the secret, if they'd heard me preach the word, they'd cause my people to hear my words too. Then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. He says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Let me make a point about that verse right there, especially to you young people. True enough, you get far enough away from your parents, and you can probably do something that you're going to have to keep a secret the rest of your life. You just hope they're not going to find out. And you can probably pull that off, but you really don't want to, because most likely they are going to find out. I tell you what, not a one of you, Jeffrey, there's no chance that you're going to reach over and pinch your sister right now. You're sitting between your parents. They're right there. But now maybe this evening, you catch her sitting by herself and you come up and give her one. You're going to get away with it. It's going to be your secret, right? God's saying, you know, they're your parents. Just because they're your parents right here doesn't mean they're not your parents when you're not right there with them either. God says, just because I'm not a God, we're sitting next to you, doesn't mean because I'm in the heaven of heavens, doesn't mean I'm not God. Doesn't mean I don't see what you're doing. Do we see that? Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar? Verse 24. Can anybody hide himself in some secret place? You think you've got a secret place God doesn't know about? Whether it's a physical place, or in your mind, or in your heart, that I don't see you, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He says, I've heard what these fellows, these false prophets are saying, that prophesy lies in my name, saying I've dreamed a dream. You see, they don't know the secret, so they're just making one up, dreaming one up. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, a false god. When they don't tell the true secret, they're making you think God's somebody he's not. He gets another name. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, the true preacher, let him speak my word faithfully. What's the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? One of these days, God's going to burn up everybody and everything that's a lie. That's what he's going to do. That's why the question's important. Have you heard the secret of God? This is God's secret. And the biggest lie they tell is about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. Listen to what they say. And you can turn on your TV, and I don't recommend you do much of this, but you can turn it on often enough to find out what I'm telling you the truth this morning. Here's what they say. They say God is less than what God's word says he is. They say Jesus is the Son of God. Now, you say, that's a good thing. Well, it's true. He is the Son of God. But listen to them, and isn't this what they do? They say, Jesus this, and Jesus that, and Jesus and the other, and Jesus, isn't that what they say he is? Let me tell you why that's not enough. That's not accurate. Let me illustrate this. If I say somebody's name is Bird, and I want you to know who I'm thinking about. Now you're thinking Larry Bird, you're thinking Big Bird, you You might be thinking about Jack Bird. Okay? You could be thinking a lot of birds. Let's say I give the name Bonar, B-O-N-A-R. Well, you might think, well, that's, in the Bible, there's Horatio Bonar. He was a famous preacher. He wrote that hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. You might think that's who I'm talking about. What if I say the name Lynn? Oh, you think, oh, we're thinking of Lynn Napper. Or we're thinking of Lynn Tindall. I might know a Lynn at school. Is that who we're talking about? What if I say the name Kelly? Oh, my daughter's name is Carrie Grace. It might be her. It's close. You see how confusing all this can be? But now let me give you this name together. How about Kelly Lynn Bonar Bird? You know who that is? She's right there. She's the only one in the building. Any confusion now about who we're talking about? I tell you, when false preachers say Jesus this and Jesus that, they don't know who they're talking about. They're making this thing up. They are not talking. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He's God of gods. He's King of kings. He rules and reigns. He's almighty. His name is Jesus. That's accurate. He's the Savior of his people. He's their only Redeemer and Savior. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's Christ. He's God's anointed. So when we talk about him, we better be telling who he really is. And that's one way to identify the false prophet. He doesn't call him by his full name. We ought to use it out of respect and reverence and fear. And you know he is the Son of God, but that's just not all he is. They say Jesus wants to save you, but you have to let him. They say Jesus loves everybody. Well, isn't it sort of a strange love that lets people you love go to hell? Mm-mm. If Jesus loves everybody, got a strange way of showing it. They say Jesus is waiting on your call. The truth is, God waits for no one's call. If we don't get a call from him, we'll never hear the secret of God. The God they make up, he's a little God. The true and living God is God Almighty. He's a huge God. He's the all-seeing God. He's the all-knowing God. He's the all and in all God. That's who Jesus Christ is. And false prophets make him less than what he is. But the false preacher, secondly, the way to recognize a false prophet, they make God less than he is. But secondly, they make man more than he is. More than he is. The Word of God clearly declares. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. Turn to Isaiah 40 with me. The false preachers say man is free. He has a free will. Well, God's word says man's not free. It says he's a captive. He's a slave to sin. They say man is basically good, but slips up now and then. God's word says there's none good. No, not one. They say, let God. Let God? What kind of God do you have? You got to let him do something? The only way you get to do anything is if God lets you. Let's see you take another breath without the grace of God this morning. You'll be dead in the aisle here. God lets. Man doesn't let. And in Isaiah 40, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casting silver chains. You see, what they did in the old days, they would make up a god by actually carving something out of wood and then beating metal around it and putting him in the corner or up on the wall. Or back in Nebuchadnezzar's day, they made Dagon one. He was 90 feet tall, made out of solid gold. And nothing's changed. You go in one of the hospitals here in town, and on the wall of every room, you're going to find a little thing, a man who's wrapped in a loincloth, nailed to the wall. He's an idol. You see, he's something somebody made up. Because they didn't know the answer to the question, didn't know the secret of God. Look back at verse 20. And he that's so impoverished, somebody who's so poor that they can't make one of gold, they choose a tree and carve it out of that and hire some cunning workman to prepare a graven image. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That's the question I asked you this morning. Have you heard the secret of God? Have you heard God's secret? Folks who haven't heard, they make an image, an idol. Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as are grasshoppers, that search out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. It bringeth the princes to nothing and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Look down verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? The false prophet makes man equal to God. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by their name. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Here's the question again. Have you not heard? It's hearing. Hearing the secret told to you, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine walking out your door one morning and standing there on the sidewalk, and here's a grasshopper who's come up on the sidewalk, and he looks up at you and says, you know, this morning I'm going to let you walk in the yard. That grasshopper's going to be most fortunate if you don't go, well, let's see you not let me step on you. You see how ridiculous it is? Comparing us to grasshoppers is insulting the grasshopper. He has more sense than that. He flies away when you come out the door, doesn't he? He gets out of your way. If we ever see who God is, we'll understand how insignificant we are. And that's what the true preacher's going to tell you. We're just like vapor. We're like air. The Word of God clearly declares who man is. Man at his best state's altogether vanity. Just nothing. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Outwardly, some of us look pretty good. Especially if you're this morning comparing yourself to me, if you're looking up at me and going, who do you think you are, pal, telling me how bad I am? I'm a grasshopper? Well, you'd be right. You go compare yourself to me, you'll come out looking pretty good. But which of us wants to talk about our secrets? Oh, the things we've said and done and thought, which we've kept secret from men and from other folks, even from our wives or husbands, our children, things not commonly known to others. You know, if we ever, ever hear the secret of God, we will understand our problem is not what we say or what we think or what we do, in secret or openly. Our problem is what we are. We do evil because we are evil by nature. God made us good and upright. He made Adam perfect. But Adam sinned. And when he did, he became a sinner. And we're his children, so we're sinners. Sometimes openly, sometimes in secret. Why do we want our sins to be hidden? Why do you kids do something you know you shouldn't? And you just living, just every day, every moment, it's like, I hope they don't find out about that. Because you knew you shouldn't have done it. Even if they didn't tell you, you shouldn't have done it. I'll show you a scripture in a second. The reason is because our conscience tells us. God gives us a conscience so we have some sense of what's right and wrong. And we violate our conscience all the time. But the Word of God tells us too. And we try to hide our sin in a secret place. It's the first thing Adam did, didn't he, when he got caught. The Lord, Adam ate of the fruit. The Lord said, where are you, Adam? He went and started picking leaves and covering himself and going, I'm not here. I didn't do it. Tried to keep it a secret. God said of Esau, I've uncovered your secret places. The God of the Bible knows who and what we are. We got no secrets before him. Look at Romans 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. You know, God gave the Jews the law, and yet the Gentiles knew what they shouldn't do. Nobody ever gave the guy in Africa, in a way back place, nobody ever gave him the law saying it's wrong to kill, and yet he knows it is. How does he know that? Look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Reread that. Accusing or else excusing. Here's what the false preacher enables us all to do. He's standing up there saying, God loves you. You're basically good. You just got to stop doing those bad things you do. You know what he's doing? When you hear that message, what you do is I hear it out here and I look at John Greenleaf and I go, well, I suppose I'm not as bad as John. And Dave over here looks at me and says, I guess I'm not as bad as Bob. And somebody else is up here looking at Dave going, I'm not as bad as Dave. You see, if we start accusing somebody else, it's only for the purpose of excusing myself. Everybody can find somebody worse than themselves. Adolf Hitler, he probably looked at Joseph Stalin and he said, I only killed 6 million. He killed 50 million. Do we see how absurd and ridiculous that is? There's no truth in that. And look back here. You see, either verse 15, either accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. There's going to come a time when all this will be known, opened up. The key to your mind and heart will be open before everybody. And everybody will know what God knows, which is that we're wicked from the sole of our foot to the top of our head. And look what it says. The secrets of men shall be judged by what? By Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Uh-oh. You see, Paul, it's not that he's going to judge you compared to me. You might be okay that way. All right? Oh, but you got a problem. I got a problem. We all got a problem because we're going to be compared to Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus Christ lived 33 years. Never once did he have a bad thought, much less do anything wrong. He was perfect and righteous for 33 years. Now, stand up next to that if you want to. That's who God's going to compare us to. And it says here the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not going to be the gospel of do the best you can gospel. It's not going to be God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life gospel. No, it's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what that gospel is? That gospel is justice and justified. Just and justified. If we're not perfectly righteous, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, we've had it. We're going to spend eternity in a bad place. And if we aren't perfect enough to come into God's presence, we're not coming into his presence. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can that be considering what you just told me I am? I'll tell you what. If you hear the secret of God, that's the key that will unlock this. We can be just and we can be justified before God. The second word, have you heard the secret of God? The second thing I want to point out is, have you heard the secret? The secret. What's not commonly known? The answer to that, notice, is there an S on the word secret in your Bible? Not mine. Not a bunch of secrets, even though God knows things we've not dreamed of. Men make inventions and think, I'm an inventor. No, they're not. All God's done is enabled you to see something that He's known forever. It was a secret to Him because He knows everything. But we think, oh, I discovered this. No, we just found out one of God's secrets. But this says the secret, singular, in my Bible. Turn over to Job 13, or Judges 13. The book, back to Judges 13. The secret is not some list of information or truths or doctrines or facts. The secret's not a place. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the Holy Land. It's not a church. It's not a cathedral. It's not a heaven. It's not a place. The secret of God, hang on here now, is a person. It's a person. See, that doesn't make any sense to me. Let's see if we can understand it. There was a man named Manoah, and his wife, he and his wife were barren. That means they didn't have any children and didn't think they could have any. Now, I've always assumed that they wanted children and couldn't have them, but that's not what the Bible says. And I'll make that point for a reason. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 1 or 2. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. And let me make this clear. The angel of the Lord, this is the Lord Jesus Christ appearing before he became a man, as a man, appearing to them. Remember, the word wasn't recorded back then. Manoah didn't have the word to go to look to study. And the Lord appeared to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Do we realize that she wasn't looking for the Lord? She wasn't looking to have children? And yet he came to her in mercy. He's going to give her this great gift. And, you know, don't be surprised when folks you love, you've heard the secret of God and you want to tell them about it. Don't be much discouraged or too distressed because they won't hear it. They don't want to hear it. Don't care. You see, this is a secret, and yet it doesn't have to remain a secret. Anybody who wants to hear the secret can hear the secret. All you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do is ask. You say, I can't reconcile that, but it's the truth. But look down at Judges 13, verse 15. And she went and told her husband, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I won't eat your bread. God's not the God of these false prophets that says, won't you do this for God? Won't you do this? Listen, he got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your piece of bread to satisfy him. He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. And if you will offer a burnt offering, he said, if you're going to detain me, then offer a burnt offering. Thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah, notice what this says, Manoah knew not who this was. There was a time Noah didn't know the secret. And Manoah, now he was religious enough to have said, I know I'm supposed to offer an offering. Verse 17, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what's your name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. What Manoah's really saying is here, in case it happens, like you say, most folks got a wing and a prayer and a hope for eternity. You know, if it's like God says it is, I guess I better go to church. I guess I better find out some of this. Just in case they're right over there at such and so church or whatever. And Manoah says, tell me your name so I'll know who to tell in case it does happen. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says to him. The angel of the Lord said to him, why ask thou thus after my name, seeing that my name is secret? You see, here's a person who says, my name is secret. Does that cast a little light on the question? Hast thou heard the secret of God? Has the Lord Jesus Christ spoken to you? Have you heard him? That's the question of questions. And you go on down through this and you'll find out that Manoah You know, he told his wife, he said, "We've seen God." He said, "He's going to kill us. Who's going to live? If we ever see God, we find out who he is, we will wonder, why didn't he just wipe me out? I'm so wicked and evil and terrible. But he's shown me mercy." That's who the secret of God is. Find Isaiah 48. Here's the third point. Hast thou heard the secret? And it's the secret of God. And the third point is, have you heard? Heard. It must be heard. The secret must be heard. And the reason this has got to be a person, you may have some understanding of the doctrine of this or the doctrine of that or the truth of this or the truth of that. But if you haven't heard and seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know the person. You don't know the secret. I'm sorry. I don't know it if I haven't seen him. And look here in Isaiah 48, verse 16. "Come ye near to me and hear this." Do you see how important hearing is? Hear this. "I've not spoken this in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God in his Spirit sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandment, then thou had had peace, been as a river in the righteousness of the waves of the sea." Oh, why don't folks hear? They're not listening, not looking for him. Manoah's wife wasn't looking for him, and yet he came to her where she was. You know, I want to make this point. It is a secret, but it doesn't have to be. We can't hear if we don't have ears. You can go up to a coffin all you want. The guy's laying there and you go, "Hey, Joe, how's it going?" See, that's a terrible thing to say to Joe. But if you're looking for Joe to answer, you're barking up the wrong tree. And you and I can't hear if we're dead in trespasses and sins, as the Scripture claims. But if the Lord Jesus Christ comes where we are and gives us ears to hear, then and only then can we hear the secret of God. It must be heard. Now, the fourth and final point is, have you? I've asked myself this week, have you heard the secret of God? Have we heard? Turn back just a few pages to Isaiah 45. We can see in the Scriptures who does hear the secret. It's everyone that God calls by His Spirit. They hear, you and I. And listen, the Scriptures declare, we know if we've heard and we know if we haven't. We do know. We know. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 3. "I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee..." You see how it happens? He calls, we hear. And then we know. "By thy name..." He said, "I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant saith, and Israel mine elect." People hate election? Why? Why? That's how it works. He calls, we answer. That's all election means. He calls, we answer. We hear, we know the secret. "I've even called thee by your name. I've surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." There was a time we didn't know, and there's a time we do know. There's a time we couldn't hear, there's a time we do hear. I'll tell you, there's been folks come here and just grit up their teeth and... I remember. I've seen lots of it. You know, and some go away, never come back. Others can't go away because God is calling. He's speaking. They're coming back. Going to come back. And one day, when God enables us to hear the secret, we go, oh, oh. Like to Manoah, he says, my name is secret. We go, oh, oh, I like this secret. I like knowing this secret. And we come back and we come back. And it's been 37 years I've been coming back. Paul, you've been coming back as long as we've known each other. John, there's some of you here been coming back a long time. Why do you keep coming back to hear this same thing about the same person three times a week? What? Four times a week? What's going on? You've heard the secret of God. You've heard. And you know what? I don't want somebody to get up here and talk about me. The secrets might come out about me. Get up here and talk about the secret of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me about Him. That's who I want to hear about. I got one more script. Well, let's look at, I want to point this out to you in Job 15. Turn back to Job 15. How important is this? Can we confess our sin because we've heard of our great Savior? Is the secret of God everything to me, or is it nothing to me? There's no middle ground here. It's either every, Christ is either all or He's nothing at all. No in between. But unfortunately, the unbeliever's response to this typically is, and there may be somebody here this morning who's having this very thought. Look what, as soon as the question is asked by God in Job, have you heard the secret of God? What a question. Look what came back the answer to one of these fellows that was with Job. In verse 9, he said, what knowest thou that we know not? What understanding do you have that we don't have? You see how easy that is to go, who are you standing up there this morning? Who was Mark back there this morning saying what he said? You were just telling the secret, Mark. It's all you were doing, declaring who the secret was. There was a time when we didn't know the secret either. But the wonderful thing about the secret is everybody who hears it with hearing ears wants everybody else they know to hear it too. We want others to know Christ, don't we? Oh, we want folks to hear the secret. We want to share the secret. Now, one last verse. Turn to Isaiah 9. When I found this scripture and the Lord enabled them to be put together for me, this is just about the most wonderful thing I ever read. The true prophet is going to tell us we're helpless, we're hopeless sinners by nature, we're in great need of Jesus Christ our Savior who died for us. The true prophet's going to tell us the secret of God is all we need. He's our righteousness, He's our Savior, He's our representative, He's our intercessor, He's our substitute, He's the lamb slain, He's the ark of God, He's the brazen serpent, He's the rod of Jesse, He's the blood over the doorpost, He's our sacrifice, He's our rock, He's the lover of our soul, He's our light, He's our bread, He's the water of life, He is our life, He's our healer, He's the great physician, He's our friend, He's the rose of Sharon, He's the lily of the valley, He's our bright and morning star, He's our joy, He's our peace, He's our counselor, He's altogether lovely, He's wonderful. He's just wonderful. I can tell you how you want to know if you've heard the secret of God. When you hear that the Jesus Christ of the Bible is Lord and that He's a secret, you go, that's wonderful. He's wonderful. It's not a secret to you anymore in the sense that it may not be common knowledge to everybody, but you know and you rejoice in it. Here's how this, say, you saying secret is wonderful? I'm not saying it, God's saying it. Look here in Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. This is saying God gave His Son that you and I might be free to die in our place at Calvary. He gave His Son, and unto us a child was born. Somebody who's going to live a perfect life and then give that to us. So that our sin's gone and we have a righteousness before God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ by which everyone's compared. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's the only one who's going to judge how this is going to be. Is that good enough or is it not? Is it right? Is it wrong? He's going to judge it, and he says right here, that's how it is. Now, you want to know his name? His name shall be called, what's the first word? Wonderful. Have you got a little letter next to your word, wonderful? My Bible does, and it's got a center reference. You don't have to look it up because I already read it to you. You know where that'll take you? Back to Manoah. And when Manoah said, will you tell me your name? I'm hearing you now. What's your name? You know what he told Manoah? My name is secret. It's the same word as right here. My name's wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Now, if you've got what's wonderful, what else matters? And he's not only wonderful, there's not enough names for him. Eternity's not going to be long enough to learn all his names. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I could start all over again. We could spend eternity sitting here listening to the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, the question of questions that I started with, hast thou heard the secret of God? I pray we all have. I pray we have. All right, let's bow together.